Good morning. We're with our political observer on a Monday morning. Starting a new week, Alan, and we've been watching after Britain exited from the EU in a historic vote. Leadership struggles emerge in the nation's major parties, with debate growing among conservatives over a successor to Prime Minister David Cameron, and a movement underway to oust Jeremy Corbyn as the head of the Labour Party. That's from the Washington Post. The Times headline, "Crisis in Britain intensifies as chaos leaves void at the top."
Well, David, is fascinating. There does seem to be splits in each party over this. And, of course, the ramifications for places like the United States are huge. So when you're talking about, will they do better in their trading as a single nation than as a member of the EU with the moribund kinds of reasons they can't do certain things, there's a big debate about that. But what's more interesting to me is sort of a post-vote unhappiness to the point where, you know, voters' remorse, I think there's more and more talk about a second referendum. Now, the guys like Boris Johnson, the ex-mayor of London, who were pushing the whole thing and saying, there's no reason to get out so quickly. Meantime, everybody else, it's like a husband who comes to the wife and says, I want a divorce. And she says, okay, you can have a divorce. First, you got to pay. And second, you got to do it right away. I don't want this thing hanging over my head. Well, that's what all of the EU people are saying. Now, get out. You know, if that's the way you feel, you don't love me anymore. And in the meantime, some of the guys like Boris Johnson who were pushing it were saying, well, no, not so fast. We got to take our time. And you got Scotland, which, of course, is thought by everybody to look at getting out of Britain. You know, in the old days, you would have a civil war. You would have kings dying on the battlefield. Now you have a referendum. Scotland says, okay, you know, we don't want this. Ireland, Northern Ireland says, okay, we don't want this. A lot of people are having this voter remorse, which really may turn out to be, okay, just kidding. Let's have it 1, 2, okay, 2.5, and we'll have another look at this.
From there to a new poll in the presidential race, Alan, that shows that Trump has plunged and Clinton has a double-digit lead in a head-to-head matchup. In the general election, Clinton leads Trump 51% to 39% among registered voters nationwide. It's an ABC Washington Post poll.
Well, of course, David, one should really have great doubts about these polls. First of all, there was a second poll which showed about a 5-point difference, not this double-digit difference. If you take a look at what happened in the Brexit debate, a lot of people were targeted who were not traditionally voters. And while you had polling which showed that there was almost no difference in both, and in fact, not leaving was over the leavers, it turned out to be quite a large margin. And when you look at that, you say, okay, this is different. So now, since the first polls were wrong, you have a poll which says that Trump is falling behind. And many of the same people who were silent-ish during the Brexit in Great Britain are silent-ish here. The New York Times has at least one story that says you can't compare the two. I say you have no choice but to compare the two and to be very cautious about polls. Now, one of the recent polls showed that when you included, that if you included Jill Stein in a Green Party and the Libertarian Party, that there was virtually no difference between the two guys. Well, how could you not include them? They're there. People are going to vote on them. So if the people think that this is all over because Trump is falling behind and because George Will decided to get out, a conservative columnist, and to renounce his participation in the Republican Party and change his registration, it doesn't really compute. This is going to be a very close election in my mind, and anybody who thinks it isn't is just playing with fire.
Finally, as we see gay pride marches around the country, specifically in New York City this weekend, headline, Pope Francis says church should apologize to gays.
Well, you know, I love this Pope. He's doing good things. Remembering the context of who you are, if you're a president of the United States and you make a change, or if you're a Pope and you make a change, you know, president goes to Cuba, Pope goes to Cuba. These are immense decisions, and you got to respect them, especially since they have an office and they're not just some outsider yelling and screaming.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, David.